Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gable Morenci. I'm on the grid. It's Football Friday. Let's do this thing. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's ready to rock and roll. Cousin Sal's going to step up and in. Joey Odessa's going to join us. It's football. It's fighting. It's baseball and everything else in between. Let's do this thing. We're on the clock right now, literally and figuratively. SMU and Tulane going off the board, Cam. 6 o'clock Eastern kickoff. What do you got?
I'm taking Tulane, Gabe. It's nice when we're on the same side. I'm not sure if you're going to be on the same side as me, but I like Tulane in a bounce back spot. I know they didn't play well against Houston, but at home, getting a touchdown, I'm going to ride the green wave today. I think it's going to be a pretty tight game. I'm going to take the home dog. Should be some points in this game, but I'm not screwing around. I'm just taking Tulane plus a touchdown. Wish I got it earlier and got the hook, but I got Tulane plus 7, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? SMU, this is a tricky football game. They're both tricky football games tonight, but let's spare the breakdown since it's kickoff right now. I'm feeling you here, Cam. You know what? I think Tulane are a little bit overrated. Tulane are like a hipster band, Cam, that they're not as big as their fans think they are. Everybody always, Tulane, 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 and it's Willie Fritz. People like the coach, Willie Fritz. And, you know, Tulane are one of these teams, Cam, that the hipsters in the college football world picked to break out. You know what I mean? But they did like every year. You're like for like the last 3 years, this is the year Tulane makes a bowl game. This is the year Tulane turns the corner. And they finally did, but like one out of the 3 years that they were hyped. Exactly. They got ambushed last week, Cam, in the second half against the Houston Cougars, but they are back home right now. I think there's going to be points in this football game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And, you know, SMU, without their best wide receiver, they have enough skill position players that they can get through this. But they're missing a couple of guys, actually. They got a running back out. Their top Roberson's out as well. So I just have a hard time, Cam, laying 6.5 points with SMU on the road in this spot. SMU are good, but they're not like a team that you want to be laying a touchdown on the road with, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. It's nice if we're on the same side there. I will say this. You brought up a good point. Top running back, top receiver, road game. I'm not going to say Tulane's world beaters, and you're absolutely correct. All these people talk about Tulane like being this great team. They're not. You know, the program's getting better, but we're getting a home dog with a touchdown with an SMU team that's beat up in a spot where Tulane, I think, can bounce back. So that's going to be a part one of the college doubleheader game. I'm riding the green wave. Hopefully they can cover the number. I think they can win this game outright, but I don't have the kahunas to go on the money line. I'll just take the touchdown.
And go ahead and get it out of the way. Ken, please tell me you're on the Cougars tonight later, right?
Yes, Cougars. That's the best. We'll tweet it at Cougars. Hey, it's can't lose with the Cougars tonight. It's a guarantee. I guarantee the Cougars are going to win and cover tonight. Yeah, I like the Cougars. And in the baseball game, Gabe, it's going off in 2 minutes. I've gone back to the well with the Rays because I'm a stooge. But I think they stopped the bleeding with our boy Snell. Snell's like a comeback to me, buddy. Let's go.
I don't know. You know what I'm Snelling?
What?
I'm Snelling a game 7.
No.
Listen, Ken, my baseball picks are about as good as my MLS's back tournament picks, all right, buddy?
Oh, so buddy.
The fact that I'm on the Houston Astros should make you feel better. So for the record, we're on Tulane plus the points. SMU Tulane over the number. Let's go with the Houston Astros as small underdogs.
No.
And we've been missing out on this. All these games are going under the number, Cam, in the American League. Give me the under in this ball game. Going with the Astros and the under. We're going to welcome our radio affiliates in a second here. Shout out to our radio affiliates. I am Gabriel Morenci, kicking it with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We got a really, really good show lined up for you today. In the words of Ed Sullivan. So Cousin Sal's going to kick it with us. Always good when Cousin Sal joins us. Joey Odessa, we're stepping into the octagon. It's football and fighting today. It's football and fighting Friday. So we got college football right now. We're taking SMU Tulane to go over the number. And we're taking Tulane plus the points. Major League Baseball game going off the board. Give me the underdog Houston Astros. And give me the under. What do you got, Cam?
Yeah, I'm on Tampa. We're with you. You're riding Tang, the drink of astronauts. And I will say Houston's been really hot lately, but I think Snell stops the bleeding. This series is over tonight. Give me Tampa Bay, and I'm on Tulane, plus seven. Let's rock.
All right, so we have another college football game coming up tonight. We're going to break that game down. That number's been coming down as well, in which the BYU Cougars take on the Houston Cougars, and we've got our sound effects ready to go as soon as the touchdowns start to come in. This number was 5.5 all week long. Now BYU are laying 3.5 in this football game. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down to 3. Seems like everybody's jumping in on the home team right now. BYU have been good, Cam. BYU have been good. I swear, out of all teams, I'm glad there's two games. There should be fun games tonight, but there are two teams playing tonight, Cam, that always cause me problems. And SMU has always caused me problems. Like, SMU are one of these teams, whenever I bet on them, they suck. And I'm like, why did I load up on SMU? But they're actually good this year. Yeah, Ken, you know, this is something we didn't bring up, actually, in the opening about SMU. I was on them last week. They played against the Memphis Tigers. Big game. It was a big game. They won the game 30-27. I was on them. I think it's somewhat of a little bit of a letdown this week right now as well. They get Tulane, you know what I mean? It's not the same edge as they are home game against Memphis. Don't forget, there's psychos out there. They have fans at SMU games, too. In fact, they had to kick this student section out of the stadium because the fans weren't adhering to the guidelines. So I think SMU were kind of in a tough spot, but I look forward to breaking down this BYU and Houston game. Should be a fun game. And, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers look to avoid being eliminated tonight, and they're massive favorites again. Game time decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking it with the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Cousin Sal is going to join us a little bit later on. Joey Odessa will join us in a couple of moments. Time we'll talk some UFC. The Korean Zombie Brian Ortega are throwing it down, and we'll be throwing it down. We got college football on the board right now. Major League Baseball coming up. Cam, a busy night tonight. Well, we got four games on tap, two college football and two Major League Baseball games.
Yeah, and I got an update for us too, Gabe. Great start for both of us. Tulane's up 7-0. So a good little start there. That's fantastic.
Oh, there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Surf's up.
Yeah, you know what?
Surf's up.
I like it. We appreciate the attempt. It's good, but it doesn't work.
It scared me. I thought my soundboard.
I thought we had a problem. What's going on now?
Gabe, I looked at my soundboard. I thought, I'm like, it's hot. It's on fire. It's,
I saw your like, face. Oh. I saw your face.
I know. I flipped out. I did. I'm like, what's going on here?
The waves. Parker, Master Control. Good job. Yeah, we never settled on in Tulane. I like it. So, you know what? Let's go with the Jazz. I think the Jazz works. New Orleans. Jazz.
Yeah.
Because, I got to tell you, that wave just sort of scared us. And I thought, same thing. I was like, oh, boy, I got mic problems.
Yeah, that was weird, man. You saw my face? I literally thought there was a fire in my eye. I flipped out for a second. So, yeah, let's stick to the Jazz. But a good start for us. You got Tulane in the over. I got Tulane. And it's nice as a dog to get the first points. But let's remember, Gabe, this is a team that blew a big lead against Houston and came out of the gate hot. Hopefully they can maintain it this time.
Man, these college football games have been track meets so far this year for the most part. We saw last night they got to 111 points. There was some confusion during the broadcast. I don't know how many people were actually watching the game, but I'm watching a game and they got to like 84 points, all right, in the third quarter. So they get to 84 points and they put a graphic up on the screen and they say this is the highest scoring game in Sun Belt history. And I'm thinking to myself, and I even tweeted, I said, really? So I find it hard to believe that, like, a Sun Belt game has never had more than 84 points scored before in it.
Right? Exactly. And
yeah, they were wrong. If you can't trust the damn broadcast, who can you trust? They were wrong. They had to come back on after and say, oh, yeah, you know what? Sorry, there was some confusion. The record was one team scored 84 points once.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, the actual record was 128 points in the Sun Belt. For the record, do you know what the all-time high-scoring college football game is? How many points were put up?
I'm going to say 154, Fresno State in Hawaii.
Good guess. Good call. You're pretty close. Pretty close. 146. I like how you threw Fresno State and Hawaii in there.
Pretty good, eh? I remember the game.
It's not correct, but yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a good guess. Very good guess, I thought.
Texas A&M. I actually remember, so I was like, oh, yeah. They played like a million.
And LSU.
Yes, sir. Texas A&M.
Yeah, the
LSU
overtime
is the highest
game.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Game, and it was 146 points. 74-72. Wow.
That's
74
right.
That's a basketball score. 74-72, college basketball score. That's the all-time record. But the thing is, that went to a million overtimes.
That's the thing.
This game did it. It had 111 points without even going overtime.
Gabe, I'll tell you, that's why I mentioned the Fresno State-Hawaii game when they were formerly in the WAC. I remember that game, and it was like 130-something, and it was no overtime. Like, the final score was like 69-62 or something. Like, it was something stupid. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I remember it was like, I'm not sure if it was the Timmy Chang days or whatever, but it was just dumb. Every possession, touchdown.
Really high-scoring
no
game?
Overtime.
Mm-hmm. You remember it was a really high-scoring one. It was about 3-4 years ago. It was the Bahamas Bowl, Popeyes, Central Michigan with Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
Because I remember he set a record, and it was kind of bogus because he set like a record. I don't know. He threw like 9 or 10 touchdown passes or something, but like 6 of them were in overtime. So, like, it was one of those deals. I think it got to overtime in the 40s. If somebody in our chat or out there, I can't look it up right now. We'll look it up if we have to, but I'm curious. Yeah, the Bahamas Bowl. And now it's bothering me. What was the damn score? I remember it was Central Michigan.
And, didn't they come back? They forced overtime too on some big comeback. I remember it was like a return.
I think they lost. I remember. Came back, but then they lost or something. Yeah. I remember there was a million points scored. I remember because Cooper Rush set all kinds of records, right? Bahamas Bowl. There's not a lot
these
of
games.
So we'll be able to remember. It's not even that high scoring. It was 49-48.
Yeah, nothing. That's nothing.
So it must have been like low scoring when it went to overtime. That was the thing. It was a crap ass game and it went to overtime and it was a ton of points scored. That's what it was. Yeah, and Western Kentucky won 49-48, 2014.
I think we were on the right side of that game.
Buffalo won the Bahamas Bowl last year against Charlotte.
That's right. We bet on Buffalo. Go Buffalo, the Bulls.
You could offer me $100,000 right now, Cam. I would not have remembered that.
Yes, you would. Well, the funny thing is, you would have.
I know I was on Buffalo. I remember I was on the Buffalo Bulls.
I remember the show we did, too. We both took Buffalo. The problem is, we bet every night of every game of every whatever, so the games just bleed into each other. But I do remember that specific game. Buffalo actually dominated Charlotte. They just pounded the rock on them. Like, Charlotte couldn't stop the Bulls' running game.
We won. That's why I don't remember. Because I vividly remember the Bahamas Bowl of 2017 when we were on UAB against
UAB.
Ohio.
We got throttled.
I remember horrible day. We were at the Fantasy Sports Network, Sports Grid Studios, one of our early studios. I swear to God, it's funny. I don't remember last year, but I totally remember December 22nd, 2017, sitting in front of that screen with all those TVs. I remember going, I can't believe we put $500 on UAB.
Oh, I was so pissed. I remember I was just working like a couple days a week too. All those kids were like eating their lunch and we were just sitting there staring at the TV. They're like, look at these losers lose paychecks on these loser college bowl games. Me and you were pissed and we had to do a show afterwards. Man, we had smoke coming out our ears.
I'm looking at these Bahamas Bowls. I've been on the wrong side of a lot. Wrong side a lot of these Bahamas Bowls. So Major League Baseball, I'll tell you what, man, the Dodgers, we'll get to the Dodger game, but we have the Astros. We have the Astros and the Rays. And I feel like a game 7 is on the horizon here, Cam. The Houston Astros have a lot of confidence right now. Tampa were a little sloppy late in the game, and it's amazing. But we've talked about Valdez for a couple of years now, man. But the guy's the man. The guy's the
He's
man
good.
For them. And, you know, they trust him. He's in the spot. Tampa just get out of the inning right now. So we're on the under in this baseball game, as well as the Houston Astros. I think we're going 7. Oh, we got a touchdown Mustangs. Can we get the Mustang, please? Mustang Sally?
That's me, but where's the professional horse? Down boy.
We were prepared for the wave. Evidently we're not prepared for the Mustang.
That's why I gotta come with my own sound effects.
I like the style. We're on too late. We're not on SMU. Screw them.
Yeah, exactly. No horse, please.
So one turning in? Is this enough? Well, is this like
Well, it's 7-7, 5 minutes in. You tell me. Like, you tell me. Just, are you going to lie at the over?
Last night, we saw that game was stunted, right? It was weird. There was points. There wasn't points. Nothing happened. We're like, oh, it's not going to get there. Then suddenly it opened up again. It was all over the place. But you know what, Cam? I ended up going 5-1 last night in that game because we took the original over 72.5. Then we took the in-game over 86.5. Then we took the in-game over 103.5. We took the in-game over 107.5. But then I got greedy. I thought, and this is where my bad eyesight burnt me, but I would have lost anyways, thank God. I thought I bet over 111.5. It was really 115.5. But, man, my short-term vision, I got problems. So
I got to go to Lens Crafters.
I can't read the directions off the back of the box.
We can't read anything.
This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Gabriel Moretz. So we're kicking on the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates and whatever video platform or device you are watching us on right now. In the words of Bruce Buffer, it's time! Joey Odessa steps up and into, we're stepping into the octagon. Football and fighting. I remember years ago, Joey Odessa told me, and he's actually right. As always, you were right, Joey. You told me many years ago. Said, Moretti, if you just stuck to betting on football and fighting, you'd be a very, very rich man. Last night, I go 5-1 football, 0-2 baseball.
Yep, baseball, 0-5 for me.
What can you do, man?
Football. Just keep on betting, I guess.
Yeah.
You got to stick to that 52-week season. But,
no, you know what?
You got it every week. What are you doing?
No. All you got to do is you do what every smart gambler does. If you lose, you just double up or triple up the next day or quadruple up. That's all you got to do. That's what the sharps do, right? All right, let's get right into the octagon. A lot of fights, actually, I like here this week. So this main event, we told the storyline a little bit earlier. Ortega, I always thought Ortega was a good guy, too, actually. But, you know, anybody that slaps around a 120-pound rapper – when the Korean Zombie goes to the bathroom, you know, not too cool. So the Korean Zombie really wants to beat this dude up for real in real life. It's not fake or anything. He ain't playing around. Yet the number, Joey, seems a little high to me. You know what I mean? I'm seeing 210 right now at FanDuel. What do you make of this fight?
Well, look, Ortega's got a following. He was in that movie. He was training Halle Berry. He's, like, doing the Modelo commercials. All this since he got stopped by Max Holloway. Now, you look at this fight. If it's anybody other than Brian Ortega coming off a nearly... He fought Max on December 8th of, 2018? It's almost two-year layoff. Korean Zombie's rattled off two straight wins since then. You know, in fairness, Ortega was stopped in that fight. You know, anybody that watches that fight, I think Max kind of laid out a blueprint on how to beat Ortega. And I think the number's right. I think that, you know, 2-1 on the Korean Zombie could actually... It might be a little cheap. You know, a lot of people were saying Ortega will catch him, but how many guys you want to bet with a puncher's chance? Not me. Now, I do get it. This COVID stuff mixes everything up. You know, the people that they're bringing in with, you know, the entourages and the fight camps and things. I think Zombie trained in Korea or wherever. He didn't train in the States for this fight, from my understanding, which makes things a little bit difficult. But, look, I like a guy that knocked out his last two opponents. He's got some momentum. He's going in there against a guy who hasn't fought in 2 years. You know, it's making some money outside of fighting. I like Korean Zombie, man.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. So Ortega, so Gracie can't go with him to the United Emirates, which, so he loses one of his corner men. That's a disadvantage. You got an American going over to the Middle East. That's a disadvantage. You talk about Korea, and I wanted to do this. That's why I'm glad you brought it up, Joey, but I'm not smart enough. I am, but I'm going to get a headache trying to figure it out. But the thing is, they're fighting guys on Fight Island. It's 3 a.m. for us. People don't realize.
3 a.m. It'll be 5. It'll be 5 midnight. In the morning.
Yes, exactly. So by the time the main event comes in, that's 5 a.m. I was thinking, guys, Korea. They're already like 9, 10, 12 hours ahead of us. He's, for him, it's not 3 in the morning. He's, Joey, like, I think training and career is perfect. That's why I'm glad you brought it up, because I was thinking about that. And I want to seem smart and say, you know what, guys, with this time zone difference, Korean Zombie's going to be way more comfortable than Ortega. You know what I mean? Like, I like the fact that he trained in Korea. So Ortega can't, doesn't have a corner man. He's gone from California to the United Emirates here. It's an unorthodox, weird body clock, weird food different. And now so you're fighting a Korean dude who's from the other part of the world anyways. And he's just used to like the different hemisphere, the air, the time.
Yep.
And plus he wants to kill you. So,
and yeah, Joey's just brought up a good point, Gabe.
I think he
what about the guy?
I think the numbers.
He's doing beer commercials and stuff. You don't want to be with a guy. Yeah, like, I mean, you got to think about like what people are doing. Like, where's your mindset when you're, hey, man, I drink Modelo and whatever. It's like, you know what I mean? You need all your faculties when you're going in to get your bell rung. I tell you one thing. If I was going to fight a guy that was going to kill me, I wouldn't be doing a beer commercial before. If I beat him, maybe after.
I'll tell you what. Modelo's got a lot of free pub on the show this week. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, Modelo's got some free plugs.
Modelo, every time evidently the ad worked, because every time Modelo. Someone brings up Ortega, oh yeah, the Modelo ad. I would say I want to see Cam Stewart in a Modelo ad. Cam
yes.
Stewart. His family came from the mean streets of Glasgow, Scotland. He worked his way up the talk show ladder. He showed Cam kicking it in a bar with the Modelo
laughing. Ooh, yeah. Smooth. Smooth.
Yeah. Worked his way up from the streets of Glasgow. It doesn't matter where you come from. All right, so Korean Zombie. All right, this next fight, I hope you agree with me, because I did an ESPN radio hit earlier this afternoon, and they asked me about the fights this weekend, and I said, guys, I'm betting on Jessica Andrade this week. I think she's going to beat Chookagian. What's your take, Joey?
I agree with you, G. I think that I think Jessica beats her for a couple of reasons. One, because I think she's a better fighter, even though she's going up in weight. You know, Chookagian, I worry about her maybe laying on her or something, you know, like grinding out 3 rounds. But I don't think so. You know, I think that Chookagian's going to try to take her down. If she does, I think she might walk into something. You know, Andrade seems to carry a lot of that power up in weight with her. And you know what else? And this is the red flag, and not to overcomplicate things. I mean, we overcomplicated Ortega fight. I think Jung just wins that fight just because he's better. But Chookagian was talking about retirement after this fight and starting a family. Now, the only one that I know that could, like, start a family and still keep kicking butt is Amanda Nunes. You know what I mean? I don't see Chookagian doing that. And also, some people aren't traveling with Chookagian. You know, she's at what, Jersey City camp? I don't think she got a full camp or her normal corners with her. And Andrade, I mean, look, I'm not putting anything into the weigh-ins. I mean, Chookagian's much bigger than Andrade, height-wise, reach-wise. But, you know, Chookagian also had a height and reach advantage over Valentina Shevchenko when she fought her, right? I mean, and you saw how that ended. So I think that Andrade gets it done. I agree with you there. And I think that the price is a little short. I expect it 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it would go up a little bit, too. I'm seeing right now minus 164 at FanDuel. All right, what about, you know, we always like to find an underdog here. We talked with Gamblu earlier in the week. Is Bukauskas worth a look here, Joey, against Jimmy Crute? I mean, Jimmy Crute shouldn't be this big of a favorite, should he?
Probably not, no. I mean, the price is too high. I mean, the value guys are going to bet the African kid. I think you see it's where he's from, right, South Africa?
Jimmy Crute?
No, not Crute, the kid fight. No, the kid
he's
from South Africa, right?
Oh, Bukauskas, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Crute, Australian, though, yeah. I think we got a live dog here.
What's that?
I think we got a live dog here. I mean, it's going to be a slugfest, right? Anytime you get a slugfest, you know, you got a brawler in Crute. Is going to leave the door open for the underdog.
Oh, this is the kid from Cage Warriors. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. This kid is the kid that fought in Cage Warriors. I screwed that up. He's from Lithuania.
Oh, Bukauskas. Yeah, Lithuania. Exactly. Yeah, Lithuania. Bukauskas. Yeah.
With the kid on the undercard. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's right, but I don't love it. I mean, I tell you, there's an underdog on this card that I do like, though, on the undercard, and I think he wins. And that's, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
I think it's cool.
I thought you would continue the sentence.
Tell me the best silver in the UFC. Who's the best silver right now? Who's the only silver out there that's undefeated in the UFC? It's that Claudio Silva, 5-0 in the UFC, 14-1. That one loss he's got, I guess, was a DQ, I think. This kid's won 5 fights in the UFC. They bring Krause in on 2 weeks' notice. Now, granted, and Krause lost his last fight against Giles, a split decision that, you know, Giles won that fight, okay? It was close, you know, maybe the third, I don't know. He lost the fight on, you know, he lost the fight officially. I think that Krause loses this fight. I think this Claudio Silva wins in this fight, in this spot. And again, I think he continues to be the best Silva in the UFC. Highly underrated. How does Krause open up -225 against Claudio Silva? I don't, you know, I thought that was a bad number. And obviously people agreed with me because they bet it down a good bit.
Yeah, right now Krause is -156. Claudio Silva +132. So Thomas Almeida is back, Joey. Thomas Almeida, he's back and he's a favorite, -136. Against Jonathan Martinez. What are you expecting from Thomas Almeida's return?
You know, this Martinez kid is one of those guys that, you know, I think he's an overachiever. I think if you're not ready for him and you go in there, you know, maybe undertrained or not, you know, underprepared and have a, you know, an average night, this kid is capable of winning. But I like Almeida in the spot. You know, Almeida's coming off what he lost, what, 3 of his last 4 fights. But, you know, I liked Almeida, too. I mean, I liked Almeida when he fought Jimmy Rivera. I liked him when he fought Cody Garbrandt. I didn't get caught speeding, but, I mean, I lost with him, you know, and it's not that I'm sticking with him because I'm trying to get even with him. But I think Almeida will bounce back here. I think it's a good matchup for him. And, again, you know, the Martinez kid from Texas, I think he's tough, man. He's one of those guys that gives an honest fight every time out. And if you show up and you're not, you know, if you're overlooking him or looking past him, he's going to catch you, but I think Almeida wins this fight. I think he's a short favorite, too. You know, I think it's a little low for Almeida. I think he should probably be about 2-1.
Next week, or of course, high. We've got Khabib and Gaethje. For the record, Khabib right now is -300, and I'm seeing FanDuel's posted some numbers for potential fights coming up. John Jones and Ngannou. John Jones, -130, Ngannou, +108. And, of course, there was talk this week, Joey, and it's official. And, you know, Conor McGregor, the definition of the boy that cried wolf. Well, I'm not fighting unless it's in this year. Okay, I'll take it. It's like, dude, like, you're not doing things. That doesn't seem to hold a whole weight anymore. Conor McGregor, though, opens -184 against Dustin Poirier, Joey, +154.
You know, how do you not like the diamond here? I mean, you know, look, you could bet against Conor all the time, and you'd definitely be in the
sorry,
negative.
Joey.
You know what I mean?
I always do this to you. I always give you a question on the way out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. Thanks to Joey Odessa. And don't forget to follow the action, his great podcast with the great crew that they got. JBL, Bradshaw, the coach, Jonathan Coachman. You got the Philly Godfather. Yeah, it's a great crew. And me and Cam are going to be appearing on a podcast. Follow the action. And shout out to our main man, JBL. We're now also joined by an undefeated wrestler. Cousin Sal steps up in and kicking it with us. Sal, how you doing, my man?
What's happening, Gabe? How you been?
Good stuff, Sal. Good stuff. I guess I got way too much money on an SMU Tulane game right now, but other than that, life is
me
good.
Too. You know?
I didn't look. Please tell me what SMU Tulane did not look pretty at all last week. I'm not sure. Is it -7? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're on Tulane, Sal.
No.
You can say we're contrarian, Sal, or we're idiots. It's up to you. Yeah, you can fill in the blank.
It's usually one of the same. Okay, that's not bad.
It says 7-7 right now early. All right, so let's get down to business here. Some interesting games this week in the National Football League. And, you know, I want to take the Cleveland Browns. This is a game that I'll just throw it to you, Sal. Browns Steelers here. I want to take the Browns, but I have an inner voice that's telling me, I don't know, man, they're pretty beat up. You got Odell Beckham situation. You know, Baker Mayfield's playing through pain. They're going in to Pittsburgh. But those 3.5 points look freaking tempting to me, man.
Yeah, I almost think it's too low. Like, I would like Pitts. I'm an idiot. You talk about contrarians. I'm the idiot that likes this line at 6 for the Steelers, but not at 3.5. I think it looks fishy. But I do think, I mean, 17 years. Everyone says that could change, but it's been 17 years since Cleveland went to Three Rivers or Hines or whatever it was in the last 17 years and won. And everyone could say, well, that's a different team. Okay, well, last year was 16 years. 2 years ago was 15 years. So the trend has not changed over and over. Baker has got beat up. He's got beat up ribs. I don't think he lasts. I think this is going to be like a low scoring kind of game, 27-17, 27-20. I don't think it goes over. I think it stays under, and I think Pittsburgh emerges superior right here.
Cam, we always talk about, I always use the expression, Sal, you don't want to rob the same bank 2 days in a row. Right?
True.
You know, you can move to a different neighborhood. It's a similar situation with betting. Betting on the same team over and over. I've been riding this Cleveland streak, right? And it's the end of the world as we know it. The Cleveland Browns have a 4-game win streak, but am I pushing my luck, Cam, if we go back to the same bank for the fifth time?
Yeah, I think we might be, but Sal brings up a good point, too. I'm looking at the line going, you know, it's a little bit light, but here's the thing. I don't know what Baker Mayfield's going to do, but let's remember, too, guys, I'll take the hook at 3.5 with Cleveland, Gabe, because think about this. You know, Philadelphia hung around with these guys as well. Like, the Cleveland Browns, they're figuring it out. They're a better team now. They're getting Beckham involved. And as for Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? They're winning games, but they didn't really impress me against the Giants, only in the second half of that game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sal, like they're good, they're undefeated, but are they really that good? Claypool had 4 touchdowns. I don't know. I just don't trust the Steelers to cover numbers.
Yeah, you don't know. Well, that's the whole thing. You don't know their identity, right? Is it this team that has four Canadians score 4 touchdowns in a game, or is it the running game of James Conner and Snell and all these guys? But, you know, Big Ben, though, quietly is having a good year, which is surprising if you look at the stats, but it should be a great one.
I like that Claypool did the LeBron 4 thing after.
I love it, too.
They did the 4-on-4. That's bold. That's good job, kid. I like that. Good job. All right, so call me crazy. This is a pick that I already gave on a radio show that I was a guest on earlier today, and there's no turning back now. I'm calling the upset. As good as Tennessee looked against the Buffalo Bills, this feels like a letdown and flat spot all over to me, Sal. I think the Houston Texans go in there, win the game outright. Bill O'Brien's no longer there. They're trying to salvage their season. And like I said, Tennessee a little cocky. You know, they cheat, they practice, then they get mad at everyone else for cheating. You know what I mean? They're like the husband that cheats on the wife and then blames her because she's a bad cook. Well, your lasagna sucks, right? Keep on hating on us, guys. Yeah, because you're little victims, Taylor, right? Yeah, go have another beer, bro. So I'm calling
it's
upset.
Working for the Astros, too.
I'm with you. And it's scary that I'm with you. I have the same reasons, too. We saw Deshaun Watson. He did well last year. We saw David Johnson last week. They did well. They had their best games of the season. They've kind of settled in. I don't think they're, you know, they had whatever. They were against the eight ball with a bad schedule in the beginning of the year, right? They had all the tough teams. Yeah. Now it's evening off, right? And maybe it's like, S or get off the pot here because they know – coaches are getting fired, GMs are getting fired, and then you look at Tennessee. Yes, I don't understand what happened last Tuesday night. It doesn't make any sense. Do you not practice, or were you to think that they did practice? I think it's the latter. They did practice. You're right. They're a little cocky. I don't see it happening again on a short week. I would take the points here, and you might be right. Could be enough for an upset.
Hey, Sal, I got to ask you about this game. And we talk, Gabe and I talk about, too, a hot shower, steam burns. This thing just keeps on climbing. Baltimore, sure, they look good against the Bengals, but this line opened up at 7.5 on FanDuel. We're seeing the Ravens minus 9.5 against the Eagles. I get it. Like, they're a better team, but man, that's a lot of points. I kind of like the Eagles at 7.5. Am I crazy? I think I got to take them at 9.5. What do you think, Sal?
Yeah, I like it too. First of all, this is still a desperate Eagles team. And if you look at about, let's say this game was 3 weeks ago, right? This line wouldn't be 8.5, 9.5, right? It'd be 4 or 5. So the Eagles impressed me a little bit. They fought. They didn't score enough to beat Pittsburgh. It was a little too late, but offensively they could do it. They have Miles Sanders. They have this guy Fulgham, who everybody picked up on their fantasy team. They're the only two players from any team that average 100 yards a game. Sanders averages 5.7 yards a carry. Baltimore, second to last in the league behind the Jets. Lamar Jackson, say what you will about him, their passing game is 31st in the league. And then you add to it, Philadelphia, 18 sacks, is one of the top three in the league. I think this is close. Again, close, low scoring. Could be like 21-16, 21-17. That's enough to take the points.
All right, I'm going to ask you just about a game that, you know, maybe we're not talking about that's Sal's slam dunk of the week. But I'm surprised, guys, that this game hasn't gotten more pub this week, considering it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Tom Brady again.
Yeah,
it seemed like, wasn't it last year, 2 years ago, that it was the two greatest quarterbacks in the history of the world playing. Now this week, it's like shrug. I don't know. No one's really talking about it at all, but got a big game. Green Bay Packers and the Buccaneers. What do you make of this game, Sal? I mean, are Green Bay as good as the record? And one thing that's interesting about Green Bay, I didn't really realize, but when you think about it, when you look, so Green Bay, every game they played this year, they dodged the bullet. Kenny Galladay wasn't playing for the Lions. Michael Thomas wasn't playing for the Saints. Julio Jones was injured, checked himself out of that football game. It's interesting when you look at Green Bay's defense. They've never really faced a number one wide receiver. They've always, you know, they're a good team, but they've had favorable matchups every week. And that's the way this league works, man, right? It's all about time and place, who's hurt, your DB's out. Like, the Buffalo Bills were beaten down. They didn't have Milano. They didn't have John Brown. They didn't have Trey White, their best defensive player. People don't really talk about that, but is the number two light? What side are you on in this game?
I like Green Bay. I'm a big Packers. And by the way, this game better be good because the NFL didn't do us any favors here. Only 2 4 p.m. Eastern games. It's this one, and I think the Jets, Dolphins. So thanks for nothing there, NFL. They better show up, Tampa and Aaron Rodgers here. You mentioned all those receivers. The truth is the Packers were without Devontae Adams most of the time, and he's coming back. He's as healthy as he'll probably be all year. I'm a big Rodgers fan this year. 13 touchdowns, no interception through 4 games. Two other quarterbacks have done that in the past, and they both won MVP. I like Green Bay this year. And here's where you're going to make a difference right here. It's not going to be about Tampa. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers in a stadium where there's not a big crowd. He's going to be able to do that hard count like he does and draw them off sides. They're one of the most undisciplined teams in the league. And in the last 5 years, Bruce Arians' Bucks are. They had over 100 yards of penalties last week, 113 penalties last year. He's going to get like 3 or 4 free plays at the line of scrimmage, and he's going to make the most of them on 2 plays, and they're going to win 27-20.
Yeah, and not to mention, they got injuries too. I mean, people don't talk about Vita Vea a lot, but key component to that defense. I think the number's short here too. I get it. They don't want to be laying a 3 spot, and old Brady at home getting 3, but I like the Packers as well. So, Sal, is there a game we didn't bring up that you like? What game? What's your I don't like the word lock, but what are you going to put the most money on? What's the game that you're thinking, this is my bigger game?
You guys are going to hate this, but I like the 49ers on Sunday night. Sunday night is probably the only thing I've hit all year. I really should sleep through the whole day and, like, wake up. Oh, my quarterback's up here. And I'm watching this game here. But that's it. I like it. It doesn't make sense if you look at the numbers, but the 49ers are in a must-win situation here. 3 out of the next 4 weeks, they play teams that lead their division. They beat the Rams twice last year. I get it. The Super Bowl hangover for the losing team is a real thing. But Jimmy G is 3-0 against this team. Don't forget, Goff put up a stinker last year at 80 yards passing. They get the cornerback back. They're okay on defense. Raheem Mostert's in there. He had 90 yards last week. I think they get their footing back. This could be like a 21-20 type game, come down to a field goal. Take the underdog on Sunday night.
Sal, we were all on Minnesota last week, right? That was even against Seattle. Right. So Sunday nights are working for you.
They should have won on
the
field.
I know. So a couple of weeks ago, I drank too much on a Friday night after the show. A long week. I was like, I crushed. Got too much, though. I crushed 3 bottles of wine type of deal. And man, same thing. So Saturday afternoon, I'm like, oh, God. And I got thrown off by West Coast, East Coast. I'm like, oh, my God, the 3:30 college games are starting. I'm all like, you know, you get up, the head's spinning. I'm like, oh, my God. Right. I put two bets in, 300 a game type of deal. You know, to sit back down, of course, oh, let me check the scores out, you know, a little while later. Lost, and I thought the same thing, Sal. I was mad at myself. I'm like, dude, you were in a beautiful deep sleep. You woke up, felt violently ill, got up solely to place these bets, and then went right back to bed only to wake up, you find out you lost. I was like, I could have just like, God, am I a loser? Like, I got no joy out of it, Sal. I basically crawled out of bed, like barely got the bed in, like had the strength to hit the keyboard, and then went passed back out again, only to lose, bro.
You probably woke up and saw the SEC playing zero defense. I'm like, what, am I still sleeping? What the hell's going on here? I used to think I knew college football, but it's hard to bet this year for sure.
Speaking of which, I like Bama and the over tomorrow night. I hear what George's defense. Give me the over, Sal.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I mean, I like that Mac Jones better than what Georgia puts out there, Stetson. But and Najee Harris has had a good year, 10 touchdowns, 5 last week. People are laying on Georgia. You know, it might go back up to 6 if Nick Saban is back on the sidelines, which is what they're saying might happen. But grab it now.
Right, so what do you guys think of me if he back at 2-3 negative tests, 2 in a span of 24 hours? Mm-hmm. I expect him to be there. What do you guys think of this? Pretty crazy, but it's come down. So somebody agrees with me here. It was 3.5 all week. How the hell do you lay 3.5 points on the road with the pencil net Matt Patricia, Sal? Who the hell still has a pencil in their ear anyways? It's not working, coach. Like, does he think he's smart? Like, he's like, you know, oh, yeah, you're smart. You got the pencil. Oh, you're really up to something. Like, I'm not laying points. I think this is an upset. I know Jacksonville blow, but even the worst teams win a couple of games a year, and I think this is a good spot for the Jags.
I'm with you. I get that the Lions have to travel. I get that they've been, you know, they have a little rest advantage here. But I like Gardner Minshew. You know, Stafford's a come-from-behind quarterback. That running back for Jacksonville has done well, Robinson. I'm going Jacksonville in the points, always against the Lions. You're right. Patricia's on his way out for sure.
All right, we're going to kill it this week, Sal. Bright and early Sunday morning. No worries. Yep. We're crushing it, brother. We're killing it this week. Let's get it done. Thanks, Sal.
Thanks, Sal. Have a good one, Sal. Guys. All right, take care, guys. Here we go.
There's Cousin Sal with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, that was a quick first hour. Thanks to Joey Odessa. Don't forget to follow The Action, the podcast, wherever you subscribe to your favorite podcast. And, of course, the Cousin Sal in the house. But we don't need to promote Sal. You know where to find Sal. So, Cam, we're already off and running right now. We got two games going on. And we got a 10-7 football game. SMU have a 10-7 lead right now. End the football. And we have our first run of the night in Major League Baseball game. The Tampa Bay Rays put up a run in the bottom of the second inning. We're into the third inning right now, and it's 1-0 for the Tampa Bay Rays. What are you doing with the Los Angeles Dodgers in the Braves game tonight?
Yeah, this is a tough one, Gabe. I think the Dodgers win. It's just like, what do we do here, right? Like, it's like right now it opened up at $1.88. It's up to 200 on FanDuel, total 9. I guess I got to play it. You know, I already have it. I sound like a broken record. These parlays, I've lost every single one of them this week. Why? I don't think they're going to win.
They've only lost one playoff game, and they're like massive underdogs. I'm just stuck. I'm a Dodger fan, and I bet on the Dodgers in every damn game. If I wasn't a Dodger fan, I'd be on the Braves in this game.
Yeah, but I don't really trust. I don't know what they're going to do with AJ Minter. May's a pretty good pitcher. It's true. Like the Braves have all the momentum right now, but if I don't think they're going to win the game, there's nothing much to do. So it's got to be Dodgers -1. It's already parlayed with Tampa Bay to plus money, but I've lost every time this week. But the Dodgers are not going to go out like this. Are they going to go out in 5 games? Are the Los Angeles Dodgers going to lose in 5 games to the Braves? Or are they going to win today and make it a series, right? Like yesterday, it was just the Braves got hot. Up and down that lineup, man, they just continually hit. You trust May. I think May, like, I don't know how long Minter's going to be in there for the Braves. I do trust May, too.
I think the Dodgers are going to win, so I'm not trying to tell you to bet someone's going to lose.
Yeah, why are you telling me to bet the Braves then? I'm not betting the Braves. No way.
If you've been betting the Braves throughout the series, I see no reason not to take the Braves. I've been betting on the Dodgers throughout.
That was my point. I have, too. Yeah, it's a good point. I'm betting the Dodgers.
It's a very good point.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.